Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm.
Hey, pals. Thank you to my new Patreon subscriber, Jen N. And thank you, Molly C., for raising your pledge. And thank you all the other Patreon subscribers who are still with me. Thank you so much. We're almost up to $800. And if you're feeling inspired to join the Patreon, now would be a great time. I promise there's lots of fun stuff up there already, and I'll be posting more and more as the days go on. If you want to join the Patreon, just go to patreon.com/spermcast. All right, let's move on. It has been a weird week for me, everybody. I mean, I don't have anything exciting to tell you. It's just that I've been in New York for, I think, a month, and I'm having all of these weird feelings and experiences and doubts and confusion, and I don't know what I'm going to do with my fertility journey. I just don't know what the hell is happening. And unfortunately, I'm having some stomach problems again, thanks to having a more relaxed diet full of Oreos and chocolate and English muffins and eggs and dairy. I've been waking up with reflux at 2:22 and 3:33 a.m. every night with sad folk songs swirling through my mind saying, "She cried, hey Willie, don't you murder me," haunting me. I hate this song. I mean, I thought I loved it, but the words to this song are terrible. And my parents and I were singing it the other day and I can't get it out of my fucking head. Anyway, and I've been having these nightmares where I'm the murderer and my mom is the detective, and I feel bad for her because she's trying to catch me, and she's going to get fired if she doesn't figure out who the murderer is. But if I tell her that it was me, then I'm going to go to prison. And then when I was writing this down to tell all of you, I realized what all this means. It means I'm trying to work out in my mind whether it's better to make the right decision for myself or the right decision for my family. I mean, this is a thought I always have, that I'm always having every time I think about should I stay in LA or move to New York, but it's also this hourly thought I'm having while I'm here, when I'm inside editing or writing and doing all the junk that I always do on a daily basis, and my mom is outside slaving away doing yard work and breaking her back, and she says she's happy out there and that she loves leaf blowing and hauling broken tree limbs to the back fields, but people, she's got to be lying. And I know, I just feel terrible and guilty being inside. Guilty, I'm guilty, I'm the guilty murderer. Oh my goodness, I wish I had more time to help. It's just like, ugh, I'm only giving her like an hour or a half hour a day. Today I didn't give her any time. Oh, I'm terrible, I'm a terrible daughter. Oh, gosh, this is like writing in my diary. Are you my diary now? Is this what Spermcast has become, my diary? Here's what I should be writing about in my diary. What am I going to do about babies? I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I'm at. I bought 2 vials of sperm the other day. I don't know why. I mean, I know why. I have a sperm addiction. No, that's not why. Okay, wait. Let me back up. Okay. After the miscarriage that I had in March, I had to wait till I got my period until I knew when I could do my next transfer with the 2 frozen embryos that I have. So that put my next possible transfer sometime in April. But I always knew that I wanted to go home for my grandmother's 100th birthday in the end of April. So when the fertility clinics closed or stopped having new cycles, the weight of that decision was taken off of me. I couldn't do my transfer in April, so I could spend all of that month in New York and just chill, like I'm mildly doing now. I'm not chill at all, but whatever. But there was this other option, or is this other option, for April. I thought, well, I can track my ovulation and have a vial or two of sperm shipped to the house, and I can try a home insemination. I also thought that if all this virus stuff is too scary or if I'm completely out of money, I'll just hold off and figure everything out when I get back to LA. I didn't need to make a decision right away because I had to wait for my next period anyway. Well, my period finally came last week, and on the very same day I got an email from the sperm clinic telling me that they had just released 2 vials of sperm from my donor, the same donor who I'd made the embryos with, and that I had 48 hours to decide if I wanted to purchase them or not. So, long story short, as I already told you, I did buy those vials. But I have till the end of this week to decide if I want to ship 1 or 2 or none of those vials to the farm in New York, because I'm ovulating next week and I'll need to have the, or probably next week. Yeah, I'll figure it out. But I'll need to have the sperm here when that happens, if I decide to do it. There's just too much. I can't even scratch the surface of this conundrum right now. So I'm probably going to do my whole episode on this next week. So when you hear from me next week, I will have made this decision and I may or may not have sperm here. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. So for now, let's get to our guests. We have 2 guests. One is a lady, one is a gent. Ladies and gentlemen, my pals, Amanda and John.
How are you?
How are you guys?
Okay, how are you doing? Here, I'm gonna make this bigger.
You're in New York now, right?
Yeah.
What part of New York are you in?
Westchester County.
Oh, cool.
Do you know where that is?
Yeah, it's right outside the city, right?
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from New Hampshire, but I lived in Manhattan for like 6 years.
Oh, Amanda, where are you from?
Wisconsin.
I think I knew that. So you guys, I don't know what we're talking about today, except the fact that you're pregnant and you're a working nurse at the moment. And also, I want John to sing and play guitar.
Oh, golly.
Well,
hopefully you have requests.
You know, to my listeners, John, you can tell him any song on the planet and he can play it accurately. And usually you sound like the singer, too. Or you just know all the lyrics. I mean, do you have a photographic memory?
I don't know. Once you've learned a couple songs, you kind of get how the other ones go.
He does have a really good memory, though, because yesterday we were doing our hike in the hills because all the trails are closed. So we just do it because we live in Beachwood Canyon now.
Uh-huh.
And he started singing all the words accurately to the Reading Rainbow.
Oh, my God.
I grew up watching it, too, but I couldn't remember all the, lyrics to the inner, verse parts. But he knew them all. I'm like, how do you still remember them all?
Super solid B section. Great B-section on that song.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot later. I'll think of something to make you play.
I'll get real souped up on coffee for that.
Cool. I don't remember. I know, Amanda, you told me about your pregnancy early, right?
I did, because I had been following along with you, and, you sharing your stories was helpful to someone like me because I was struggling, too.
What was happening? I don't remember.
I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder in my mid-20s, but I guess that can lend to, there's a high risk of linkage between having an autoimmune disorder and having a very low egg count.
Okay.
Because you're born with all the eggs you'll ever have.
Yeah.
And so it's not something that can get better, get worse, I guess.
Yeah.
But so when we were trying and nothing was happening. And I was but we're doing it all the time. And I was being the nurse that I am. I was tracking everything.
Yeah.
I was doing everything that I could. And I had already at that point, changed my own diet. And I was trying to do everything that I could to make it happen. So then we finally got tested and it was shocking, but they told me that I had 0.17.
Jesus.
And it was basically barren, and I was.
So that was that was your AMH.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I don't think I've ever received worse news in my whole life.
Oh. And you guys had just gotten married.
Well, this was about 10 months after we got married.
Yeah.
We've been trying for about 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they technically want you to wait a year, but because she's such a go-getter, she was oh, we've been trying for a year. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's for people that are just doing it casually. If you're tracking it, I think something's up after a couple months.
Yeah, we're not spring chickens, and I felt
you aren't. You look like spring chickens.
I just turned 35 this week.
Ooh, happy birthday, Amanda. Your Instagram videos
are so great.
Happy geriatric
pregnancy.
Yay. Okay, yeah. So I interrupted you.
But I think it's, like, so unfair that you can't just, like, get all this testing done. I feel like we should be getting we should know our own body sooner. Yeah. I don't understand why we're not doing fertility testing, if not for just, like, to know, like, what your status is, you know,
yes,
earlier on, just so you can plan it out, because why was I ever even on birth control, you know?
Yeah.
Had I known that was the odds sooner, I think John and I probably would have maybe just started trying sooner, but
yeah,
I didn't know.
I mean, it's hard to know if you have problems until you start trying, right? But
cycles were normal, so it's not something I would have picked up from that aspect.
Yeah. So the other tests are AMH, and then there's your follicle count.
Another part of the autoimmune is, like, inside each ovary, you know, you have your follicles. I have less follicles than desired.
Yeah.
So the thing with usually when you have low follicle count and a low AMH is, even if I were to get IVF and they were trying to boost me up with all the drugs, even at the max amount, I would never put out as many eggs as someone else would. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can walk away. You can do a whole round of all the drugs and only come out with 1 to 3 eggs.
And I hold on. I muted you by accident.
Oh,
no, I can't hear anything.
I do that a lot, too.
John, you
hold on. Time. Stop talking.
Sorry, guys.
Hello? No.
Hello?
Hello?
What the hell did I do?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, hello, hello?
Hello?
I'm trying. I hear you.
Oh, hi. Oh, okay, we're back.
What the fuck?
That's so weird.
Technology is so weird.
I had a meltdown yesterday with my internet. I don't know. Things are just screwy. Across the board, they're just screwy.
Yeah. So where did I interrupt you?
So even if I were to, like, get all the max amount there to max me out on all the IVF drugs to try to get me to produce a lot of eggs for retrieval, it wouldn't work for someone like me. So when he was telling us about, like, how I had, like, little to no chance, and he was like, this is, like, one of the top Beverly Hills fertility doctors, and he's like you need to, like, start IVF immediately, but even that, like, I don't know that it's gonna work for you.
He gave us a 3% chance of a spontaneous natural pregnancy and a 30% chance of a pregnancy with IVF.
Wow.
So those are pretty discouraging and odds to hear.
And he said it would probably take at least 3 to 4 rounds and that I would maybe, like, need to do a donor egg if I wanted to.
Oh, my God, Amanda.
Have a child. And it was like, I remember just sitting there just thinking, like, what? This is, like, not what you go in thinking. We thought, if anything, maybe John's sperm count would be, like, something, because, you know, he likes to, like, drink whiskey, he stays up late, you know, he's, like, lives his best
turns life. Out great for sperm.
Yeah, turns out he was off the charts. And then I think, like, you know, it doesn't matter, I think, who it is, and even though I know John doesn't, like, feel this way, I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is all my fault, like, you know, I'm the problem.
Yeah. And had you known about the autoimmune disease in your 20s?
Yeah, so when I was in my mid-20s, I started getting these really large, like, welts that I like, convinced myself maybe were bed bugs. But then I had people come, they're like, you don't have any. And then my sister, who's a nurse, was like, they're not going away. And I'm like, no, they were, like, 2 times the size of a quarter.
Wow.
And they weren't going away, and they were in weird places, like, on the backs of my arms and, like, my ankle and just, like, on my back. And my sister was like, maybe you should go see, like, a rheumatoidologist. Like, she was like, I think this is kind of weird, and you've had, like, really allergies anyway. Like, you're really sensitive. And so I went. Even he was like, oh, it's probably nothing. And then he was like, oh, you have borderline lupus.
Okay.
And, like, it never progressed from there. My last test, I'm negative, but I do have a positive antibody that can cause a 1% chance risk of a heart block in my baby.
Oh.
So I do get, like, echocardiograms each month, but...
You get echocardiograms for yourself or for the baby?
Yeah, so they're able to, each month I go see this high, like, the specialty doctor, and she does an echocardiogram on the baby in utero.
Wow.
Which is, like, pretty crazy, and she checks out all the 4, like, chambers, the valves, making sure the blood flow is like working as it should.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy. And she's been doing it now since I was, how many months along?
Probably, I don't know, 20?
Yeah, like since I was like 20 weeks.
How many weeks are you now?
So I'm almost 7 months, 1 week. So 29 weeks.
Uh-huh.
She'll be 30 weeks on Friday. I'm sorry, she'll be 29 weeks on Friday.
Yeah.
Aw, amazing.
Getting there, but I was like so terrified to even like talk about like, I'm pregnant. Right. We waited so long to like finally announce it just because I was like, I'm too scared.
Yeah.
It's just when you get told that stuff, it's like, I don't want to jinx it.
I know. It's such a weird thing. Like we have any control over what happens anyway, but I can't stop myself from thinking I'm jinxing things.
You're breaking up. We can't hear you.
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
You hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so you were trying to get pregnant.
I know, but you feel
like... Oh. We're having a hard time.
We sure were. This was the beginning of a series of awkward, poor connection Skype blunders. After a minute of talking at the same time and cutting each other off, we hung up and restarted the call. And when we reconnected, it was no better.
Uh-oh. I'm going to call you.
Can you see us?
Yeah, I can see you crackly. Should I go upstairs? Let me do it.
Sure.
Let's try it.
Just give me 1 minute. Okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I raced upstairs from the kitchen to the attic just to see if the reception would be a little bit better.
Oh, hi.
It's bad. Hello.
That's me typing them a message telling them I'm going to try and restart my Wi-Fi.
Molly, we could try resetting ours.
It's probably me.
Yeah, the age-old question. What if it's us?
Well, let me do me first, and then I'll call you back.
Okay. Sounds good.
And then I called them back. And guess what? It didn't work. And why am I including this in the podcast? I don't know.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, perfect.
Is it any better?
It's perfect on our end seeing you. I gather from your face we're not perfect.
It's fine. We'll figure it out. Uh-oh, are you frozen? Come on. Okay.
Then we tried to record on FaceTime, but that didn't work, so then we moved to Zoom, and that did work, except it sounds like shit, and it's been driving me crazy for the last few days, and I can't do anything to make it sound better, so I am so sorry. Maybe you won't even notice the difference, and if you do, I hope it's not too annoying. Okay, enjoy the rest of the show.
Hi!
Well, we took
a trip.
It's hard in pandemic times.
Okay, so you were getting bad news from doctors. Yeah. They were telling you you had very little chance.
Yeah.
Is that where we left off?
3% chance.
3% chance naturally. And even with IVF, he said, you know, it's probably a 30% chance of success. And at 20 plus grand a pop, that was very daunting.
Because he said it would take at least 3 to 4 cycles. But then he did end it, and I mean, at this point, I don't know if I was, like, was I crying? Maybe I was crying at this point. And then he goes, but, you know, I have seen a miracle a time or two, but I wouldn't count on it.
Ugh.
But also, instead of seeing, like, an OBGYN, I see a midwife, like, just for my routine checkup. So I reached out to her, and she got really invested right away. And she was like, screw the numbers. She goes, I see miracles every day. She has her doctorate in Chinese medicine.
Uh-huh.
And so she like believes in acupuncture and all that jazz. And so,
herbs.
Yeah. So she kept calling me because she was like, I don't want you to believe them.
It was really encouraging because I also, I mean, I maybe it's because I'm like an actor and a musician by trade, and the odds of ever making any amount of success out of yourself in that field is so limited that when you beat the odds a couple of times, you're kind of like, well, odds are, you don't live and die by the odds, or at least I've learned to not do that. And so right. I was kind of like, screw that. And screw like the arrogance of Western medicine anyway, to say that you can tell you definitively, this is the amount of chance you have. I just didn't buy it. And I was really encouraged that this midwife she found also felt the same way. And Amanda's a nurse, and she's Western medicine is her occupation. And so it was an interesting shift, I think, for her to be like, oh, you know, there are possibilities that are outside of this framework. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a cool paradigm shift for us. And, and this woman was great. She said, give me 3 months. Mm-hmm. And within a month and a half of working with her, we were pregnant.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you can all chalk it up to. I mean, the guy, the fertility specialist, he did give me like a really long list of supplements to take that would help like egg development and blah, blah, blah. And I got like all the best ones I could find. And then she gave me a list of some too. So I was taking like 20 some pills every day of supplements.
She like had to do, and obviously, and I felt really guilty because she was making all the sacrifice. She had to do this very, very strict diet, no caffeine, no alcohol, no dairy,
nothing cold,
no sugar, nothing cold. In addition to this, like these 20 pills and supplements and, you know,
and then I had herbs. I was drinking these disgusting like gutter water herbs. And then I don't know if you've ever done this, Molly, but they also, well, part of the workup for IVF is you have to get the HSG exam.
Yes. And you did that and it cleared out your tubes.
Yeah, so when we were getting it done, I guess my left side, when they were like, you know, they inflate you with the like catheter and everything, and they tried and they couldn't get the left one unblocked. And then he was like, I could apply more pressure, but it'll be quite painful. But if you want to like go for it. And I was like, yeah, I'll do anything. And so he did it, and it hurt so bad, but he was able to unblock it. So I don't know, like if it was truly blocked, that means then, you know, every other month, nothing was getting through.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. There's like all these different things. Like, I guess I'll never know like the real reason, but either way, the acupuncture helps so much with just like, I did feel warmer. Like my circulation was better and my cycles were more normal too. I wasn't ovulating too early because sometimes I would ovulate a little like earlier than ideal.
Wow.
The first like weeks, like my first trimester, I still went every single week. And there was one time where I spotted a little bit of blood and she did this thing where she lit these things on fire on my toes. And then like it never happened again. And I was like, okay. Like, I mean, there were certain things like that would be like weird. And then she would do something and then I would never have it again. And I was well, I know the acupuncture must work somehow.
Yeah. It's truly amazing that you guys got pregnant with those numbers. It's and naturally.
Yeah, it was I wished I felt like I had any contribution to it, but she really went all out in terms of the recommendations and we pulled out all the stops and yeah, it's hard to know what was the silver bullet that did it, but mm-hmm. I guess if we ever want to do this again, we'll just do it all again.
Yeah, let's do everything.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All the supplements, probably get the HSG again, just like flush it out. Yep. It's like Roto-Rooter and then I don't know. I feel like when people are like, are you going to try to have another one? And it's like, well, I feel like we feel so blessed already to have like, yeah, gotten this 3% miracle with, yeah, like, I have like virtually no eggs. So I don't know, but I mean, we'll definitely try. If it happened once, it could happen again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll probably start fairly soon just because, you know, we don't know.
Yeah. And do you tell people that you struggled?
I do. Like, you know, I work as a nurse, so it's a lot of women anyway. So I feel like we're very sharing with like everything. We talk about everything. Like,
we also have a number of friends who are in a similar spot. And so it's been nice to at least be able to share our experience with them and say, you know, these types of things happen. And again, we're not really sure like why or point to, but I think just it's cool to know.
I don't know. I feel like sharing the story at this point is good in that, like, I want other people to know that even if like a doctor says you have 3% chance, like maybe that's not that like end all be all. Did I say that?
Be all end all.
Yeah.
Oh, that's end all be all.
Really?
End all be all.
Which is it?
Well, I'll have to cut away and look.
She gets upset when I correct her.
He corrects me
because she's got some real funky turns of phrase.
Okay, well, technically it is be all end all because it comes from Shakespeare. Macbeth says, and this blow might be the be all and the end all. But according to the internet, it's perfectly fine to use end all be all as well. So, Amanda, we good, girl, we're good.
My mom says, she calls me Miss Malaprop? Malaprop?
Oh, yeah, like a malapropism?
Yes, yes, because I get all the sayings wrong. I don't know what that word means, Amanda. Do you know what that
means? No. Tell us. It's like an idiosyncratic saying or something, right?
I mean, it sounds mean.
A malapropism is the mistaken use of a word in place of a similar sounding one, often with unintentionally amusing effect, as in, for example, dance a flamingo instead of a flamenco.
I think when you say a saying incorrectly, it's a malapropism.
Oh, yeah. Well, I come from a long line of those. Yeah, so.
She really does. Okay, so Amanda, then you, first of all, we know each other from improv.
Yeah, we do.
I'm just so impressed that you suddenly went to nursing school. Was that something that you always wanted to do?
Well, no, and I hadn't even thought about it, but it was at a point when I was bartending. Mm-hmm. I knew I had to, like, do something different because I just was like, this is soul-sucking. I hate men. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. Like, where do you go from that? Like, you're a bartender. Like, I don't want to be a 40-year-old woman bartending. No offense to any 40-year-old woman bartending, but for me personally, like, everyone just looked at me and assumed that I don't have any plans in my life, because that was just the way their conversations would always be with me, like, that I don't have anything else going on, and just the creepiness of men. I just couldn't take it anymore. And my sister's a nurse, and she's like, well, because I was also nannying as another side gig, because you have to have a million side gigs when you're trying to be an actor here. Mm-hmm. And she's like, why don't you ever consider, like, becoming a children's nurse? You were always so good at science in high school. Like, I did get a science scholarship.
Wow.
So, you know. But I was like, oh, I never really thought about that. That's actually a really good idea. And so I started taking, like, community classes for free at Pasadena. And then I was like, I really like this. It felt amazing. Like I was, like, doing something good and, like, using my brain, which felt really nice.
And how long did it take?
So I had to do a lot of prereqs because my undergrad was film. I have a film degree, so I didn't have anything that was, like, appropriate for nursing school. So I did about a year or so of, like, just prereq classes. And then I got my master's in nursing. So it was a 2-year program in Chicago.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So it took quite a chunk of time to get it all done, but.
So what kind of a nurse are you?
So I do pediatric nursing, and I work in bone marrow transplants.
Oh my goodness.
So I deal with children that have either, like, cancer that is just, it's not being handled or treated appropriately with traditional chemo, and it keeps coming back, or high risk. Oh, or I deal with children who have, like, really weird, like, blood diseases. So, you know, some kids are born with no immune system, or they're not born, or they, like, are lacking certain bloodlines, or, like, they have no immune system because of that.
Oh my goodness, Amanda, it's heartbreaking. I can't imagine having that kind of strength to be around sick kids. And my best friend is a pediatrician as well. I just, it's impossible to me. But
it's hard
because
you're paid, like, what I know, I could say, like, the biggest thing about pediatric nursing, which is different from adult nursing, is, like, the patient is your child, but the parents are so much a part of it because...
Yeah.
In adult nursing, you don't have parents there, like, 24 hours a day. And there's nothing like that bond of, like, a mother and their child, or the father and their child, or even grandparents we have. And so it's like you're taking care of everyone. You're not just the nurse of the patient, because our kids too are isolated. They're in a room by themselves. The parents don't get to leave. They don't leave. So they'll stay with us for a month. We've had children stay up for, like, we have a kid who's almost been with us for a year now. And if you can imagine being stuck in one room for that long of time.
I think we're all going to imagine that.
Yeah, I know. We were making a joke, like, our parents are like, oh, you guys are having a hard time with quarantine. Like, that's our life. That's the life on my unit for those parents. Like, they are quarantined, cut off, and... So you, like, I feel like it's a bit of psychology mixed in with nursing, which I really like talking to people and trying to just listen, just be a listener. Cause I feel like sometimes I just need someone to listen.
Yeah. That's so amazing. Thank God for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And then the crazy thing is now you're almost 29 weeks pregnant and you're still working your ass off during this pandemic.
During this unknown pandemic. Yeah, I tried to request disability early because I do have that past history of the autoimmune, but because I'm not being currently like on medications for it or anything, they said that COVID is not a reason to be on disability, even though being pregnant, you're already immunocompromised.
Right.
And which I just find so crazy that I could be at the bedside caring for patients with COVID-19, but like, that's not a reason for like me to have extra protection. I feel so grateful that I'm at a hospital where like we have very low cases and we have proper like equipment to protect ourselves. I mean, they're doing a great job at Children's. Like, they've been like on top of it from the beginning, and immediately once the whole pandemic started, they like created all these policies and ways just to keep us safe. And you know, we're all wearing masks all the time now, and the whole like visor, if like there's any doubt, everything. Yeah. And so I feel pretty safe. It's just like a matter of like, you never know where this is going to go. And I mean, right now it feels like California has been doing well.
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like our governor has been a lot more proactive than other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just like, but like during this time, you just don't know. And like, no one really knows the side effects. I mean, they're saying that they haven't seen any like side effects of women who've gotten COVID and like effects on the baby. But like, yeah. I mean, I don't really feel like we're going to know until it's a few years out and we start to see like, are they developmentally slower? Or
yeah.
I feel more scared if I was in my first trimester. Because if you get a bunch of fevers, that is strongly linked to abnormalities and stuff
miscarriage.
Like that. Right. So yeah. I feel like that, like, so I think about that with, because like those people aren't getting any additional protection either. So I just feel like, I don't know, pregnant nurses aren't really being looked at as like a fact that maybe we should be protecting them just a little bit more, or taking them into consideration during this time.
And a lot of people that she works with, well, I don't want to say, I don't know names and I don't want to blow up anyone's spot here, but she's knows of some people who have gotten excused early because their doctors have kind of fibbed and said, yeah, they need this disability, but she just happens to have a really
ethical doctor.
And so it's a bummer in the sense that like, it really kills me, and I drive her to work every day because it's the least I can do. But it's a bummer to send her off into the unknown abyss of this every day that she works and just hope that she stays safe. And it's just, yeah, it's a bummer. It's a bummer that there's not something in place for people in her position, but.
Yeah, I thought that I had read that if you were pregnant and you were still being made to work that you should, I don't remember.
Well, so they will give me a 30-day modification, which is a new thing. But so my doctor was willing to write me off of that because I wouldn't be able to perform my job being 6 feet from everyone.
Uh-huh.
So I would be able to stay at home, but there's no pay with it. It's like the loophole of like, yeah, you don't have to be here, but you just won't be paid. And then mm-hmm. I wouldn't be allowed to like collect unemployment or anything like that. And I don't qualify for the, like, what's that package? The stimulus?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't apply for that because I make over, you know, whatever that is. So I would just be like, okay, well, I'm expecting this baby and I'm not having any income.
Yeah.
There's nothing available for me for help, even though there's help for everyone else. But it almost feels like unfair in that way. So.
Yeah, it is. Completely unfair.
But also, even if this weren't going on, it is really hard to work this pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
The pull of a job this is, like getting kids into the bathtub, getting them out of the bathtub, like bending over the bed all day. Like, I'm fairly like large.
That's our dog.
Please reverse coughing.
Oh.
But it is like really, it's like such a physical job that like, I feel like I'm giving all of my like past pregnant nurse colleagues kudos. Like, how did you this up until 8 months? Like, I do get 4 weeks off before my due date.
Yeah.
But like, it is a struggle. Like, my back hurts by like 5 hours in, my back is like killing me. And I'm 13 hours.
And you're on your feet all the time.
13 hours.
It sucks. It sucks.
It's bullshit.
I know.
I never understood why y'all nurses and doctors have to do crazy long shifts. I mean, wouldn't your brains be better if you had short shifts?
It's better for patient continuity to have a long shift because there's not so much, you know, like the game of telephone. Mm-hmm. It's better when you have less cooks in the kitchen and you're like, you can really accomplish a lot more for your patient when there's like less handoffs and stuff like that. And sometimes things take so long, like procedures and this and that. It's like you need that long of time to like wrap up what you did and then you pass it along to the next person. So I don't mind it, but in this situation, it's just harder when you're like carrying like a million extra pounds and it's all like hanging off your back and your spinal cord and then your hips. I've never
felt more useless in my life, and I'm an actor who's mostly unemployed during the year, so it's really saying something.
What are you doing to keep her happy, to keep your woman happy and safe?
Well, since the COVID crisis, I've made all of our meals.
Mm-hmm. Every single meal. I don't cook at all anymore.
Amazing. So I do all that. I just, you know, I shuttle her to and from work, which is whatever. That's just a given. And then, I don't know, she gets like back rubs and stuff.
Yeah, I get at least one back rub a day. Sometimes I ask for two because on days where I work, it's like the first one just kind of like loosens it. I mean, nothing's loose anymore.
Oh, it's a mess. It's a total mess.
I probably can have professional help, but like I can't go anywhere.
Yeah, so we can't even get like a, you know, maternity massage.
I've heard pregnancy massages are really nice, but I wouldn't know. I've never experienced one because of a life of COVID.
So you have to YouTube some. Have you done any YouTubing?
Not on that, not on other things.
Okay.
Lots of cooking tutorials.
And John, tell us what you did for her birthday.
Well, I cleaned the house, including the bathrooms, which was, again, just I felt like the least I could do. We just moved, so we have like all this new space, and it's like a lot to kind of keep clean.
Yeah.
Kind of new for us. I cooked her a lamb roast.
Oh, my goodness.
I baked her a cake.
Aww.
I got her all the balloons in Gelson's and then a couple more from our local market on Beechwood.
Uh-huh.
I got her several types of cheese for what has become our nightly cheese and charcuterie plate.
Oh. We're kind of scared of what our cholesterol might look like. But.
Yeah.
Sorry, Amanda, you just reminded me. So how are you doing your check-ins with your OBGYN?
So I did go to my last one. I don't know if they're going to cancel my upcoming one, but that part has been really sad too, because John's not allowed to any of them anymore.
Oh boy.
And like he can't come see the scans. And that's like the really bummer part, because it's like you can see her moving in there and like you can like really see her. And
do you do FaceTime?
FaceTime,
but it's just not the same when you pull a phone up to a screen. It's like it washes out. And
sorry, John.
It's cool. I mean, I get why they need to do it. It's a bummer. But as long as the report is good, it's kind of like, all right.
And that's been the silver lining of everything. Like, this has been a little bit hard just because I don't get to like walk around much and really flaunt the pregnancy belly and maybe possibly get people. Like, no one's getting up for me. I don't get their chair. It's bullshit. Or like,
you
I'm
have
not
a baby, you'll have to fake a pregnancy so that you can see what it feels like.
I know. And then like we were going to go to Sedona. Right now we would be on our way to Sedona. And we were going to have these like really elaborate maternity photos taken on some cliffs.
Oh my gosh.
And it was going to be amazing. And all of it's canceled.
Yeah.
My baby shower canceled.
Oh yeah. If I get back to LA before you have your baby, I can shoot some pictures of you guys from far away.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We got our little
freeze. But now it feels okay,
maybe. Yeah, maybe it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, here, we'll move a lot. Can you see us? Are we moving?
I can see you moving.
Okay, great.
Great.
Who fucking knows?
Doing the best we can in these times.
Yeah. And so last week I had somebody on the show who is a certified nurse midwife, and she's doing a lot of telehealth or telemedicine meetings with her patients? Are you doing any of that?
So far, because I'm high risk, they've had me come in.
Gotcha.
But I don't know. Like, I think maybe some of my checkups with my midwife might be canceled because I do have like my high risk doctor scan coming up. So I don't know. We might have this next one be canceled, but I haven't heard anything yet.
Okay. Yeah.
I also though have to come in though, because I have to come in anyway, because I need the Tdap, like the vaccine, because I'm at a certain point in my pregnancy now where I need to get that. And then I also need to do the 3-hour glucose test, which is horrible. You would hate it.
How do you know?
Because you're healthy, like you eat healthy, and it's like, it's for me, like I like sweets, but this is like, I don't drink soda though or anything. And this is, they give you is sugar soda times, I don't know, 100. It's so sugary. It's so horrible. It makes you feel like you're going to throw up.
I don't know if my stomach could handle that.
Whatever. I thought I was going to throw up the last time I did it. But you get through it, but then you feel delirious. I thought I was like, I don't know, on a certain drug or something. I just like felt like I was like, whoa. But yeah, you're like that for 3 hours and you can't eat before. So then you're just really hungry and you're like, kind of like, cracked out on sugar. Just skip it.
And as of now, you're allowed in the delivery room, John?
So far as we know, yes, they're still allowing.
Only for your vaginal.
Right. If it's a CA section, no.
I think because like if it wasn't vaginal, then he would have to come into the operating room, and they're not allowing fathers into the operating room at this time. But my midwife assures me that like by June, there shouldn't be like these restrictions.
I would think that if it's allowable now and things are hopefully going to continue to get better, that it should be allowable come the end of June when we're due.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
Cause that would really suck.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel like I do very well with that. Just cause like, I mean, I'm at Kaiser.
It's been hard enough to not be able to go into there. She's been really bummed. I mean, we've both been bummed.
Like, it's not really fun to be around a bunch of strangers giving birth to your baby, you know? Like, you want at least someone there, that you want the person there. Because he'll be able to tell people to leave me alone, because I feel like if anyone's trying to be too positive to me or, like, or, like, being really fake with me, I'm going to, like, give him a look. And then he's going to be like, I think we're fine. I think we're fine right now.
Yes. You go. Okay, I think I need to make you sing now, John.
Here, what do you want me to,
like, what's the mood,
Alex? Yeah, here, I'll go get my instrument.
I mean, let's see, we could go with like something sweet for the baby.
I could do the ukulele thing.
Yeah, why don't you go grab your ukulele? We actually because you know John's very musical, and obviously we have a feeling our daughter will be too. Not that we're gonna force anything on her. But I got her little like blocks for like 2-year-olds or 1-year-olds, and it has ukulele chords on them.
How's this?
That's good. Okay, do I have to pick a song?
Well,
he had one prepared.
I had one that I just actually played at a wedding, which is kind of a sweet apropos tune. But I'm always down for requests.
No, I want it. I want it, and then I'll give you a challenge afterwards.
Great.
That's good. Okay, let's hear it.
All right. There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all till there was you. There was music, wonderful roses, they tell me, in sweet fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never saw it singing. Morning, I wish I could say, but it's not. It's afternoon, and I should.
That was beautiful. Yeah. I'm sure the Zoom quality didn't help. And now I've got to think of a really wordy. I've got to think of a really wordy song. that's a challenging song.
He does pretty well. I mean, John's really fun at birthday parties.
I've been camping with him. I think maybe twice. And he's like the hit of the campfire.
Yeah, he's a hit of anything he goes to with his instrument.
What's a song with a lot of words that I can trick him with?
Like, what's that one that was fun about Route 64?
No, I don't know that song. Like, we didn't start the fire. I bet you know all the words to that shit.
I could probably pull that out. Yeah, I could probably do that.
Nobody wants to hear it, but do it.
Okay, I'll try it.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Don Durant, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Snoodle, they get television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Hemingway, Eichmann, Stranger in a Strange Land, Galen, Merlin, Mayor, Mix of Nations, Lawrence of Arabia, Virginia, Oldest, John Depp, Hope, Paul, Malcolm X, British politician says, "Jay." Oh shit, I'm totally off.
What
else do I have to say? We didn't start the fire. It's a dark pretend. Forget pretending. We didn't start the fire. With the tree of God, and we'll still burn it up.
That was insane. I can't believe you and all those words. I don't know the words to my favorite songs.
I know, me either.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It's just like going to some, I mean, I screwed it up, but they go into some little pocket in my head where.
I think you like really listen to lyrics. I don't even think I really listen to lyrics.
I listen to them hard and they don't stick.
They don't retain. Yeah.
John, are you good at memorizing lines?
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'd say he's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it. It's just, you know.
I'm terrible.
Are you really?
Why
I mean, it's
work.
Hard. It's especially when they give us like 3 hours to do it, and they give you something the night before, and they're like, "Go in at 10 a.m. and no 7 pages." Like, that's not going to happen for me. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm okay with it. She helps me, although she hates helping me with it.
So that's why she has to be good, because I only give them so many times.
Yeah, she gives me like two pass throughs, and then she's like, "I'm off the clock."
Yeah, and then sometimes she gets mad because I like to like give characters a voice, and he's like, "Can you just read it normal?"
Yeah. Yeah, because her voice, they're like, oh, I'll see you a little better too.
I would kill you, Amanda.
Yeah, no, it's less than helpful.
I'm so excited for you guys and your little baby.
Thanks for having us on. It's been cool to talk about. It's been an interesting and kind of life-changing, obviously, journey for us.
It's wild.
I still don't really know what to expect. I feel like it's either like a limitation of my gender or just my own personal imagination, that it still feels very abstract to me. Like, I think for Amanda, it's a much more here and now immediate thing. I'm still kind of like, oh yeah, we've got time. Like, we'll figure it out. Like, it doesn't, I have no idea what I'm in for, but I know that it's going to be a totally different deal.
And and you guys are going to do a great job no matter what.
Thank you.
The second it becomes real.
Yeah, and I'm glad that I am a nurse, because I feel like I can at least keep her alive. And I mean, with all of this like pandemic going on, we're probably not going to have any family come visit or anything like that.
Yeah.
So we will we'll have to figure it out together. So
yeah, like they did in the olden days.
Like they
didn't. No, I feel really lucky that she's does this for a living. So I kind of get to escape for a little bit.
Well, thank you for taking care of Amanda, John, while she's taking care of everyone else.
Well, it's again the least I can do. It's my pleasure.
Does a great job.
Yeah.
Do what I can.
I pay him.
I certainly got the time these days.
And thanks for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and thank you always for sharing about your life.
Yeah, I mean, I got nobody else to share it with, so that sounded really sad, but I'm fine with it.
No, but you have so many people you're sharing it with, and it means so much to them. Yeah. It helps lift them up to make them feel like they're a part of something and not like alone.
Yeah. That feels like it's been very helpful for me too. So I love it. Yeah. Well, did you already tell me when you're, what?
Our due date is June 26th.
Okay. I don't even know what date. Oh, it's the 15th today. April 15th.
All right.
Yeah. So we got a couple more months.
Yeah.
Two and change.
Yeah. It feels like it's coming up quick though.
It's been flying by. So I know it's going to be here before we know it.
And you know, we can't tell her when to come and when not to come. So.
Yeah. Well, keep me posted. I want to know.
We will.
Yeah. Oh, you're frozen. Now you're really frozen.
Oh, no, we're losing you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How's this? Yeah, now we're back.
Okay, well, let's get out of here before it freezes again.
Okay, bye. I love
thanks,
you.
Thanks,
bye,
Molly.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
You too.
Talk to you soon.
Of course. Our pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amanda and John, thank you again for coming on the podcast. Amanda, thank you for taking care of all the little children. And John, thank you for taking care of Amanda while she does it. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. If you want some extra content or you get bored during the week, you can always go to patreon.com/spermcast and subscribe for a couple bucks a month and have access to all kinds of exclusive content. If you want to support the podcast but you don't want to do it via Patreon, you can send money via Venmo to Molly-Hockey. I'm still doing those fertility consultations and I'm still loving it. And if you're interested, just email me at spermcast@gmail.com and I will give you my information and my rates. Got any general questions or just want to give me some shit? You can also email me at spermcast@gmail.com for that reason, or you can text me or leave me a voicemail at 323-741-1818, or you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at spermcast. And of course, the other great way to support the podcast is by rating and reviewing. Have you not done that yet? Are you out of your mind? You have to have done that by now. But if you haven't done it by now, I understand, because I have podcasts that I listen to that I've never rated and reviewed. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to rate and review one of the podcasts that I listen to all the time. And you are going to go to Apple Podcasts right now, as I'm going to do, and rate and review Spermcast. Oh, okay. Here we go. One. I'm going to do this. I am going to go and I'm going to rate and review a podcast. Okay. Are you ready? One, two, three. Did you do it? Did you go and do it? I didn't go yet because I'm still recording this. Okay, I'm gonna go now. I'm gonna record it. I'll talk to you later. Go. Rate, review, Apple Podcasts. Love you. Goodbye.
You could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay, straight, black, white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need Spermcast.
An Erios production.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.